All right, so so as we've considered last several sessions, when it's come to addiction, when we live trying to please ourselves or trying to please others, that's usually where we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. And instead we want to seek to please God. And it's sort of counterintuitive in a way, because sometimes we put ourselves first and we suffer for it. But when we put God first, it's actually better for us than we might think. And so we want to consider different ways. Name of the chapter that we're going through is Six Procedures That Please God. And so we've looked at the idea of giving praise and thanks to God, of obeying authority, last week was the idea of being fruitful and growing in knowledge, that those are things that please God. But we want to consider another thought tonight, and that's the idea of avoiding entanglements. And that comes from this verse here, which says, "Thou therefore endure hardness. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man at war entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, they may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier." And so we want to consider what these two verses mean. And so first off, we think of hardness, or we could think of it as hardship as well, but it can be defined as severe labor, trials, or affliction. And so we go through that at different times, and so we're called upon to endure hardness. And so there was always going to be times in life where we have hard, difficult days, and often it can be maybe the circumstances, but maybe it might be the people we're dealing with, people that are just hard to get along with, just impossible people that just are very frustrating. And our tendency is we can try to avoid or escape from harder times or harder situations. And so that's kind of the thing, is that we can have this kind of avoidance where just we're avoiding controversy, avoiding any difficulty, never always trying to take the easy way if we can. And in doing so, we miss out on a lot in life. But then a lot of times we're trying to escape from it. And sometimes that's kind of where addiction comes in, is because we're seeking a temporary escape from the hard times, just some kind of momentary relief to help us deal with it, but we're not actually dealing with it, it's just an escape. And so instead of trying to avoid the hard times, escaping from it, we want to endure them, knowing that we're blessed as we do so. It talks about in James 1 verse 12 that blessed is a man that endureth temptation, when he tries to receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And James 5 verse 11, he says, "We count them happy which endure." And I think if we think that certain situations, that there's often times where we go through something difficult, but then there's an end result that makes all that difficult stuff worth it, right? Like one example that comes to my mind right away is like, okay, I don't really like the whole part of like slaughtering animals, right? I don't get any kind of joy or thrill out of doing that, right? It's kind of a nasty business, and I would rather not do it. But I know that at the end, like when, especially when you butcher pigs, you get like bacon and ham and all these other good things. And so you go through the bad stuff, you endure it to get to the good stuff. And so that's just a very simple example, but another one would be like, say, where you're, I remember talking with this one individual, where he worked extra jobs, like he actually did a lot of, he took on a janitorial contract. So even though he was working during the day, a lot of times evenings and weekends, he was doing this janitor work. And you would think, well, boy, that's sure a drag. But it was, so basically he would have money to spend so that he could kind of enjoy life more, kind of thing. And so it was like, he was just kind of working this for a certain amount of time, putting all his money away so that then when he got to a certain point, then he could really, he'd have money to spend and enjoy himself. And so it's things like that. Is any other kind of examples you guys can maybe think of things where it's difficulty that you endure, but then there's a good thing that comes out at the end of it?
Sometimes the exercise that it takes to get in shape, it's not really fun at first, and then you start seeing results and you feel better, and you keep up with the kids or your day and not feel exhausted.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's a good example. Any others?
Staying up all night, what, when you're little puppies? And you're exhausted the next day, but
yeah,
you take a nap and then you wake up, and it's nice to see them all running around.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, no, that's, I think we didn't have much experience with the goats, but we had a bit, and it was, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. That's cool. But yeah, there's, we go through things, and like that's kind of with, like it talks about that in the Bible, but like I remember with Humilia, with like you're always sick during pregnancies, and of course the whole delivery process is not something that you want to do over and over again, but it's kind of, you have a baby at the end of it, right? And it makes that all worthwhile. So there's always things like that that we endure, and then there's something good at the end. And I think we can maybe think of different times where we didn't endure, and then we wish that we had. Like an example I have from when I was young is Mom wanted to teach me piano. And when it first started out, I thought, oh yeah, this would be so cool, learn how to do piano. But then after a while it got more difficult, and it's like summertime, and it's like you want to be outside running and playing and doing all this other stuff. And it's like, I don't want to sit here and practice. So I just gave it up. And now I look back as, boy, I wish I had endured and got through that kind of time where I didn't feel like it. And just plowed through, and then I would have had that skill now that I don't have. And so it's, there's things like that, I think, where we don't endure, and then we're sorry that we gave up too soon. And so it's realizing that there's value to enduring, that we're blessed when we endure. And so, whoops. So we see it says, endure hardness, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier is a man engaged in service, if for an army. And we understand that. We recognize different soldiers and veterans from our community. And we understand that God calls us to be soldiers for Him. And so we are in a battle, and essentially we're fighting against evil, and we're seeking to rescue those that are still in the enemy's clutches. That's part of what we're doing. And so if we're soldiers, we know that there's a foe that we're fighting. We know that the foe isn't just going to just give up and let us do whatever they want. They're going to oppose us, and so there's going to be some fighting, some difficulty. And so that's something that we expect, and so we want to learn to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But we realize that there's powerful forces arrayed against us. And we think of it as, sometimes we think of it as people that we're fighting against, but it talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against what is spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we think of that, of where we have spiritual foes that we're fighting, and it's something we don't see these foes, but we understand by faith that they're there. And it's maybe a good thing that we don't see them, because it'd probably scare us to death if we did. But it's the understanding is that we have these foes to face, and so we need to have God's strength and God's armor to endure. And that's what he talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And so, because we have these spiritual forces that are arrayed against us, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so, we need, if we're going to endure, we know we need God's strength, and we need the armor that he gives us to defend us. And it talks about truth and righteousness, and preparation of the gospel of peace, talks about faith, and of course the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, and then also prayer, that those are kind of what we need to use to defend ourselves from attack. And so the thing is, though, is that with God on our side, we can have the assurance that we don't need to merely survive the trials that we're facing. We can be overcomers in them. Like, it isn't something where you think of it that we're just kind of staying in a foxhole, keeping our heads down, and just hoping that we make it through the war unscathed, right? Whereas instead, God's with us, that we can advance, we can get victories, we can liberate people from deception and from bondage of addiction and other things. And so God can use us in that way. And so we don't have to live in fear of our enemy. We can have victory. In 2 Kings 6, it's an interesting story, because the Syrians, actually, they'd heard about Elisha, that he was a prophet that was basically hearing from God as to where the Syrian troops were going to attack Israel. And so Israel would always know and be prepared for the fight. And so he said, "We got to wipe out Elisha," so he stops doing this to us. And so he sent this whole big group of chariots and horsemen, and they surrounded the town which Elisha was in. And Elisha's servant went out in the morning, I don't know, get water or something, and he sees all these soldiers on horses all around the town. And so he comes running back, and he comes to Elisha. He's like, "What are we going to do?" And Elisha says, "Don't be afraid. There's more with us than are with them." And the guy goes, "Hey, you crazy? That doesn't make any sense." And so then Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes and he can see." And so for a brief moment, this guy was able to see that the whole hill all around them was full of these chariots and horses, horsemen of fire, like basically a heavenly, like all these angels that were ready to defend them against this army. And so it was just kind of seeing that picture, that that's really the position we're at. Sometimes we think of everything that's against us, and we wonder, man, how can we even survive this? Where God wants us to open our eyes for a moment and see, hey, that I'm much greater than all this that's arrayed against you. And that we can be, as it talks about in Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that 1 John 4:4, that it says, "Your God, O children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world." And so we know that we can have victory. So it's the thing of enduring, going through difficult trials, knowing that there's a blessing at the end, and trusting that we don't have to be afraid of what we're facing, that God can give us victory. And so to have the victory we desire, we must endure as good soldiers of Christ. And realizing that there's things we've got to go through, but there's going to be a blessing at the end. And we want to be motivated by both duty and love for God and others. And so that you think of with soldiers today, that they operate based on what is their duty to their country, to their fellow soldiers that they're fighting with, but it's also a love for the country and a love for their comrades. And so that's what it wants to be for us, where we love God, we know we have a duty to Him, we have an obligation to others, but it's not just duty, it's love as well. So that's the idea of enduring hardness. But then we see the next verse where it talks about, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen to be a soldier. And so God has chosen us to be his soldiers. We want to be pleasing to him. So to do that, we have to avoid entanglements. And so to be entangled, that means to be twisted together in a confused manner. Has anybody had an experience where, say, they've got tangled up in something, whether it's a cord or a rope, or and you're just, yeah, and you get yourself caught up and you're just like, how in the world do I get myself out of this? I remember one time with the string lines that we were using, Dad had told me, because we had them strung back and forth across this edge, because it was to give us lines for screwing the tin on in this metal cladding that we had on the side of the shop. And Dad had told me, we'll pull one nail off on the one side, roll it up, pull the next nail off, roll it back and forth. And I got this idea, well, why don't I just get up there, pull all the nails on this side, and all the nails on that side, and then it should just go up like that. Well, basically, with me pulling all the nails on either side, all the strings got all tangled, and so I was like trying to pull them apart and get the knots out, and eventually just cut the string and start it over again. But it's the thing, is like when we get entangled in something, right, you lose your freedom of movement. You just restrict it, right? You can't do what you used to be able to do. And you become both confused and frustrated. You don't know how to find a solution to the problem, and you get worked up because you want to be able to move and progress, but you're stuck trying to deal with this issue that's complicated. And so that's the idea of being entangled. And so we want to think of it in this way, that we have battles to fight each day, and we can win those battles with God's help. But the thing is the devil, a lot of times, he doesn't just decide, oh, well, I'm not going to be honorable and just go face to face, head to head, no tricks, and I'm just going to, if this person beats me, then they beat me with God's help, and I'll just take my licks kind of thing. But that's not how he works. He's basically, well, I'm not going to give a frontal assault. A lot of times what he does is he, in order to defeat us, is he wants to distract us. And he wants to get us our mind off the battle, off what's in front of us, to other things around us. And it's specifically with the worries and cares of this life. And it talks about this in a different way in Mark chapter 4, that it gives this idea of those that are kind of like a seed that's sown among thorns. And he explained it this way in Mark chapter 4. Where he said, these are they which are sown among thorns, which is hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And so we want to be fruitful, we want to move forward, we want to have victory, but a lot of times we get entangled with all these different cares of this world that we're thinking about. Just everyday stuff, challenges that come up. And we start to become anxious and wondering, how am I going to fix this, solve this? And what happens is we get distracted from the battle. And so you can kind of picture it this way. Say if you had a soldier that was in the midst of a firefight, and they're getting ready to move forward by their commanding officer's orders, but then there's like this ring, ring, and so... the soldier puts it up, just wait, Sergeant, I've got a call coming from somebody, and so he takes the call while bullets are still flying every which way, and it's his wife. He says, "Oh, sorry, I can't capture that hill for you. The washing machine has broke down, and I need to go home and deal with that." And you would just be like, "Well, wait a minute, you can't do that. You got to be in the battle, right?" And that can be dealt with, but at a different time. And so it's kind of the idea of it, is that as a soldier, that there's these things, like when we're in a fight, we have to be focused on a fight, and there's a lot of these other things that are going to come into our life, and we really want to identify it, that the devil is kind of bringing them in to get us to start to worry, get us distracted, because he knows if we're distracted, then we'll be defeated. And so we want to identify those things in our lives. And so while it can be easy to grow anxious over how our daily needs are going to be met, we realize that if we're operating by fear and worry and anxiety, that can become crippling to us, where we don't do anything. We're just trying to stay safe and try to deal with this. We basically kind of, instead of like going forward kind of offensively, we're actually kind of taking more of a defensive posture. I got to deal with this. I got to work this out. I got to find a solution. And so instead, we need to learn to trust the great commander is abundantly able to meet all of our needs as we fight for him. That it's kind of the sense, it's like, well, you don't need to worry about that. Let me worry about that. And you keep fighting in what I'm directing you to do. And so we see, this is in Philippians chapter 4:19. It says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And so we want to understand that he will supply all our needs, and all means all. That if we have a real need, it could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual, he wants to supply those needs for us. And we see this is something Jesus said during the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Verse 28 says, "Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And so it's that thought that God knows what our needs are, and we don't need to be worrying about the provision of our needs, because it's the things that he's going to make sure that we're looked after. It isn't something where we think of our military nowadays, where generally it's always tends to be underfunded. Usually they're not getting the supplies they need when they need them. We think of when they first started the war in Afghanistan, that all they had for uniforms was like green camel to go in the desert, right? That it just, like, it's kind of embarrassing. But we realize God isn't like that, that he makes sure we're well equipped, that he makes sure that we'll be looked after, our families will be looked after, and that we don't have to fret about that, because he has that in his hands. He knows what our needs are, and he's already supplying them. But he says, "I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want you to seek to advance the cause of Christ. I want you to seek," like it says, "seek his righteousness." And that's the idea, where we want his righteousness to be developed in us, right? And so it's that thing, is that we need to take time to invest in what God wants us to invest in, right? And trust that He'll take care of the rest. And this could be just like a very simple example, but say if you know to prepare for the day, you need to spend time with the Lord in prayer, just connecting with God. But instead, you start thinking about what's happening in the day, and then you think, oh, well, I gotta figure out this, or I gotta write this email to this person, I gotta do all these things, and then it gets to be the start of your day, and you haven't spent that time with God, and you realize, well, wait a minute, I needed that way more than I needed the other things. And so, it's the thing is that we, because of that, we can end up being not as prepared for the challenges we might face as we should be, because we're getting distracted by these other things around us. And so it's the idea that as we, in life, that especially as we're dealing with addiction, whether it's our addiction or trying to help someone else with addiction, that we want to move forward, we're fighting the good fight, but we're going to find that there's always going to be these kind of perplexing problems that arise. And we're tempted to really leave the battle, just kind of step away from it and say, okay, well, I got to deal with this and try to fix our problems. And we don't necessarily even know how to fix our problems. We don't have the skill set. We don't have the resources to do so. But instead, it's the idea is where God is leading us a certain way, and we need to learn not to be anxious, but instead to cast our care upon Him, to let Him know what our requests are, what our troubles are, let Him worry about it so we don't have to, so that we can continue going on in His strength. And it's the thought that it's not like we're ignoring the problems of everyday life. It's not like we're being callous to issues that come up. It's just saying, having kind of the honesty and the humility to be able to say, okay, I don't really know how to solve this, but I know someone that does. And so I'm going to put this in His hands, and I'm going to keep going as He directs me. And it is a thing of where we're moving away from fear to faith, where we're learning to, instead of panicking, instead of fretting and fuming over something, where we're saying, okay, Lord, I want to follow You. I'm going to trust You're going to take care of these details. And as we learn to do that, where we're kind of just giving a lot of things over to the Lord and focusing on the direction He's wanting us to go, that's when the Lord can really work and bless us. And so, we really want to understand that victory comes in the battles of life as we realize that we're not fighting on our own. And that's so often what we've done for so long, is like we think we're this lone wolf where we have to figure it out. We got to be the one that provides the solution. That it's all on our shoulders. And it's not. That we realize that we have many comrades in the fight that can assist us. We think of that, of other brothers and sisters in Christ that can be an encouragement, people that the Lord brings in our life that can help us out at different times. But as well, we have our commander, God Himself. He provides for us, He protects us, and in many ways He fights our battles for us. And so, it's the idea is that as we learn to faithfully follow Him and avoid some of these entanglements, our lives and the lives of our families are blessed as a result. And so, in the time remaining, like, can we think of anything that comes to mind that can be kind of an entanglement that can keep us from kind of being focused on what God wants us to focus on? Thoughts?
Plans and ideas for what we want for the future. Sometimes we feel just taking it that one day and time, asking God what He wants.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think we can become obsessed with the plan and making it come together, where instead it's just sort of, a lot of ways it's, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? And I guess I'll just trust you with the details, because I don't know how it's all going to work, and I can't make it all. Like, because that sometimes is, we can have that kind of mindset of wanting to control the outcome as much as we can. Want to make sure everything happens this way so that this happens at the end. Where we can't control their outcomes, we can hardly control ourselves most of the time, right? And so it says, like, Lord, you're the only one that can control the outcomes, if anyone can, so I'm going to trust the outcomes to you and not be so worried about them. Because that's sometimes we can become so anxious about if it's looking like it's going to be a negative outcome that we don't even start at the beginning, right? Because we think, oh, it's just going to be a waste of time. Whereas God says, no, go through it. It's going to be tough. You're going to have some adversity. But as you endure that, it's going to be worth it at the end. And so just learning not to allow these things to distract you. So any other thoughts before we conclude, kind of along that same line?
That's what I just thought, controlling, trying to control the outcome was very tangible.
Yeah, and it just, all the things we try to do to control the outcome, and it becomes where that consumes our thoughts. Instead of what are we supposed to focus on? We're supposed to focus on God, on some of the different things of His Word, where it speaks about peace and faith and other things. So often, we know that every sin has its origin in our hearts, and a lot of times when we go down the wrong path, it's because we've got the thinking wrong, right? And so if we want victory in life, we have to get our thinking on the right thing. And so it's, as he says, don't take thought for tomorrow. Let me deal with tomorrow. You deal with today. There's enough today to deal with. And just learning that habit of just being able to give our future to God and just say, okay, whatever happens is in His hands, and I'm just going to do what He calls me to do for today. So.